Brethren, we just came back from Dallas to see our lovely daughter, and obviously we're biased, but I'm sure, why shouldn't we be? And our new grandson, and it's lovely to watch a new baby just born, and the joy of that new baby that brings to the family, to the parents, to everybody. But before the joy, there is the childbirthing process. And even though you hear occasionally some ladies that say, I didn't even know I was expecting, and pop, it just popped out, which does happen. It does happen. But the majority of the cases, it's not that way. And I'm sure you all agree with me. There's a lot of pain, a lot of difficulty through the childbirthing process. Now, many parents, particularly for their first child, opt to go to some sort of childbirth classes through whatever organization so that they're aware of what's coming. And by being aware of what's coming, it helps them to manage through the pain. That's an important point. It helps them to manage through the pain because they know what is coming. Now, brethren, knowing what is happening in the childbirthing process, it helps you to endure the pain better. But you know what? That is a beautiful parallel to the soon coming of Christ. Because when Jesus Christ is going to come, there will be joy and peace and happiness on earth. Just like when that baby comes, it's such a joy to the family. But before Christ comes, just like in the birthing process, there's a lot of pain. And so we are approaching and we are entering, unless you and I have the eyes closed, we're entering a time of great sorrow and pain. But just like in the birthing process, it helps the first time parents to go through childbirthing classes to know some of the basic things of what is going to happen so that they can manage through the pain. Obviously, they don't know everything that is going to happen, because when you are a mother and then it's happening, then you realize a lot of things you do not know. But you know some basic big things. And knowing those some basic big things gives you strength to overcome till the end. And it so is the truth, it's so true with the truth and with Christ coming. God knows and you that will help us to manage through the pain if we know some of the basic things to happen. You know, brethren, just turn with me, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3. You see, you may think I've came up with that analogy myself. I didn't. I got it from the Bible. You see, I plagiarized the Bible. I admit it. But fortunately, it's not copyrighted. Imagine if it was copyrighted, we'd have to be paying somebody. God was so wise in making it available to us, because I'm sure somebody would have made a way to make it copyrighted to make money. But God has worked around it that we can go to it free. All right. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3. And when they say peace and safety. Now, brethren, You and I can live in this country. And you know what? I've heard people say, well, there's still a lot of time. Look, you know, things are good. Things are okay. You know. Brethren, be careful. Let us not say peace and safety. Because it's, continue reading, then sudden destruction comes upon them. In other words, those things will come suddenly. And our brethren, if you've been watching the news, about 2 or 3 or 4 weeks ago, or a month ago, or two, whatever, time flies in a loose sense of how long ago that was, and I'm sure you can understand that things are happening so quickly. But a few weeks back, suddenly on the news, you and I saw that town after town was being taken over in Iraq by a group that you didn't even had heard of before. Just out of the blue, bang, 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 bang. And you say, where did this come from? Sudden destruction. That is a point to what is to happen in a bigger scale to the world and to our nation. Sudden destruction. But you know, those things that happened in Iraq, they were already kind of rumbling before. If you were looking at the right things, you would have noticed it. But because our media did not point to it, we didn't see it. And then he gives the analogy. As labor pains upon a pregnant woman. You see, suddenly you've got contractions. What? There it is. Is it? Is it now or not? Or is it false? Is it false labor or not? And then suddenly it comes and wow! And here some people say, well, we got to rush to the hospital. Sudden. Now, that's not destruction, but, you know, what are we... The analogy, in an analogy, certain details are not always comparable, but the principle that's what we're looking at is that suddenly the labor pains came and things start developing very quickly. Likewise, at the time of the end, suddenly things will develop very quickly and then Christ will come. And it says, and they shall not escape. They shall not escape. Think about that word, escape. We're going to come back to it. It says, they shall not escape. Brethren, we do not know the hour. The Bible is very clear. We do not know the day or the hour. But we know, we sang a very, very interesting song today. Entitled, You Are Worthy of Worship. Remember that? You're worthy of worship. That was taken from this scripture that I want to turn to now, which Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Brethren, that is Jesus Christ. And the government will be upon his shoulder. Jesus Christ will have the responsibility of having the world government to run this planet Earth. You'll have the responsibility of governing planet Earth above America, England, Japan, Russia, whatever. It'll be a world ruling government ruled by the King of Kings, Jesus Christ himself, that is coming back to rule on Earth. The government will be on his shoulders. And his name will be called. Now remember, in Hebrew there's no commas. So it should read, Wonderful Counselor. He'll be a counselor that is a wonderful counselor. He'll give good advice. You know, you think about, you hear some of the comments recently on the news, not to mention names or who it is, but people say, oh, well, we don't have a strategy, we're waiting for this, and then you've got to backtrack because you say you don't have a strategy. And do you think Christ would be saying, well, I don't have a strategy, I wonder what I'm going to do? Wonderful Counselor. He's miles ahead of us. Miles ahead. Mighty God. Jesus Christ is Mighty God. Sure, He emptied Himself of that and He became a human being, and when He was a human being, He did not have the powers of Mighty God, because He emptied Himself, as we read in Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. But there is only one God. There's only one God family that are one, like we today are one. Or at least we should be one. Like there's some place in the Bible that says, and the people were together as one man. Like it says, a husband and wife should get together and become one. The two become one. So one is not a question of quantity of people. One is a question of the mind, of the spirit, of unity. So there's one God, one mind, one unity. But there's the Father and the sons, two different beings. Sure, when Jesus Christ, as we heard on the sermonette, when He was a human being, He did not have those powers. And He said, people, you only pray, not to saints, not to angels, not to anything, but you only pray to God. But He Himself, when people worshipped Him, He never prohibited that. He never prohibited that. Because He's the Son of God. And once He was resurrected, He got back His powers that He had, the glory that He had, to be in that God family, and He was God. And that's why it says, Mighty God. And then it says, Everlasting Father. Again, a bit of a bad translation, because in the hymn, as you sang today, says, the Father of Eternity. A better translation should be, is the Father of Eternity for us. You and I would not have eternity unless He had given His life for you and I. He's the Father of Eternity. Prince of Peace. Yes, He's going to bring peace to earth. Of the increase of His government and peace, there'll be no end. When Jesus Christ is going to come to earth, there'll be peace and joy. Brethren, that's the hope you and I have of everlasting peace on earth, of joy. It's just like when that little baby's born, it's such a bundle of tiny little joy for those parents and for the grandparents, of course. So, Christ will bring joy to the world. Upon the throne of David and over His kingdom, to order and establish with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts who performed this. Just like we heard in the, as Mr. Brommeler in the song leader, he sung led with great zeal. The zeal of Christ will make it happen. He will not let it go. He will do it. No doubt. That's what He's saying. Don't ever doubt. He will do it. So Jesus Christ is going to return. But when He returns, the world will be, as we say in South Africa, and as Mr. Brommeler probably understands the word, the world will be, and you don't know this word, I'll translate it for you in a moment, but the world will be in a chamos. You know what that is. It's in a big mess. A chamos. It's an Afrikaans word. It's also a Dutch word. it means the world will be in a real mess. It will be in a real mess. And mankind's going to fight him. Because mankind's going to think he is an alien invading planet Earth from outer space. And that's why films today are kind of putting that into people's minds. And they're going to fight him. Star Wars, you know, invasion of planet Earth. We're going to fight him. But you know, brethren, he's coming because if he would not come, we would blow ourselves out of this planet Earth. Because we would say, the two big powers, and we'll see that in a moment, that will be existing, will say, it's either you or me, and if it's not me, I'm going to kill you, or we're going to blow both each other up. And that will be this, and that's it, they'll blow each other up. And so Christ has to come at that exact moment. Before they press the real big button when they blow everything up. Because if he would not come, no flesh would be saved alive. Turn with me, please, to Isaiah chapter 4, verse 6. Isaiah, that's just after Daniel. Isaiah chapter 4, verse 6. Brethren, I gave you the analogy of the mother and the father going to childbirthing classes to know certain things so that would help them manage through the pain. Now, when we know certain things, some knowledge can help us to manage pain. And look at Yah in Isaiah chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. When people don't have the knowledge that God has given us, that's going to give us some hope for the days ahead, people are going to give up and are going to go wrong. And why? Why do people do not have knowledge? Because you have rejected knowledge. What do you mean you reject the knowledge? Well, Adam and Eve said, no, I don't want to know that. I'll do what I want. I'll have the fruit that you told me not to eat. And so it's gone on all through society. These are lives when God called them and says, no, we don't want. We'll disobey. The Jews went and disobeyed. That's why they went to slavery. And mankind today does not want to obey. And that's why we have a thing called evolution. Why is there evolution? Why is evolution taught? Think about it. Because those people know better, so does Romans 1 says. Because that the things like DNA and those things are so clear, those people know better. So why do they teach evolution? Because they want to say there's no God. Why? So that they can do their selfish pleasures of the flesh. Because once there's no God, they can do whatever pleases them because there's no God. And they burn their conscience. But there will be a day of judgment and they'll be judged. And then they will realize, wow, I made a big mistake. So, and then go on. I'll also reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I'll also forget your children. People know better God's commandments, God's Ten Commandments. But they go on committing adultery. They go on getting involved in pornography. Go on getting involved in killing and murdering and doing whatever it is. And lying and cheating. Greed. So that we end up having food which is polluted because of greed. Then we have medications that maybe we shouldn't need because of greed and so on. Be because you've forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. Wow. Now, you might say it. These things are ahead. I'm concerned for my children. Not just for myself, for my children. I'm concerned for my children. Well, Yah is the very solution to protect your children. Don't forget the law of God. So, brethren, as I said, knowing something helps you prepare for the days ahead. And days ahead are going to get pretty tough. I mean, what you see, just like to open TV, and what you see, these radicals, people, just beheading and killing with no compassion. And you see thousands, if not millions of people, refugees in Syria, and towns and areas destroyed. It makes you sigh and cry for the calamities that are happening. But you know what? They're going to happen here too. They're going to happen here too. If you have that frightful thing happening in this country, it's not going to be easy time. It's not going to be easy time. But that has to happen before the birth, quote unquote, of that baby. In other words, before the coming of Christ. So we need that knowledge to help us to manage through the pain. Just like parents need knowledge to manage through the pain. Now there will be a lot of opposition against Christ when he comes. Basically from the beast and the false prophet. But the question is, how are we going to get to that situation from Yah? What's going to happen between there and Yah? And brethren, that's what I want to talk to you about today. What is going to happen here today? Some of the events before Christ's return. And I want to paint a picture of a possible scenario, but understand as events unfold, details will become clearer. Just like when you go to the childbirth classes, they tell you certain scenarios, but the details will not be exactly that way to you individually as a lady going through the birthing process. But you know the basic steps. And so I'll paint a scenario, but in the end, some of these details might not be exactly that way. But the big steps will be that way, because those are from the Bible. But remember, things can blow up very quickly. It says sudden destruction. Peace, peace, then sudden destruction. Things can happen very quickly. On the other side, remember, there is hope that Christ will come back and will bring peace to earth. And the joy of that tiny little baby surpasses the pain that we've had through the birthing process. So much that you say, oh, what happened? Another one. Not that we're going to go through it again, but it just brings the example that the joy of the baby surpasses the pain. So we have to have the hope that Christ's coming will solve these problems and give us the strength to remain loyal through this. I usually refer to 7 things to watch. In fact, it's not me. Mr. Herbert Tom Armstrong used to refer to those same seven things. The first is the United States and Britain. In other words, through Israel. And the loss of pride We are witnessing that today. It was not so maybe 10 years ago, but it is today. Basically, what it means is a loss of being the influential power in the world. It's there. You know, brethren, the Bible says a lot about the United States and Britain in prophecy. And we have a study guide that addresses that very point. You need to study the Bible and prove to yourself who is true Israel. Because the nation of Israel is only Judah, it's not Israel. And there's a lot of prophecies against Israel, which means us. And you know what? As the United States loses the influence in the world, what do you find? You find nations now jogging for power. You know, it's like you have a bully in the field, and when that bully is out, then all the other bullies are starting to kind of shove and pushing the elbows to see who's going to be the next big bully. And that's what's happening in the world today. There's basically going to be three big bullies. What the Bible calls the king of the north, what the Bible calls the king of the south, and what the Bible calls Gog and Magog. Those are the three, quote-unquote, new world orders that are going to happen. And they're going to jog for power. And you're going to see them crystallizing. They're still embryonic today, but you're going to see them crystallizing. What is going to cause that crystallization? The United States losing the pride of its power. And allowing the others to start. We're going to start pushing. You see that. You see that with things like in the Middle East. What do you see in the Middle East today? A rise of powers pushing against Israel. And that's the second thing to watch. Israel and the Middle East. The Bible tells that there will be offerings that will be stopped in the Middle East. Offerings can suddenly start very quickly. You know, they can start offerings very quickly, probably quicker than you will think. But then something's got to happen to make the Jews realize they better start offering sacrifices, and you better do something about it. So we're going to see certain things happening in the Middle East very serious. The third one to watch is Europe, which is the Bible calls the king of the north, or the Bible calls it the beast power. And I gave a sermon a few weeks back about the beast power, so I'm not going to go into that. But you see, for instance, the borders of Europe with what will become Gog and Magog, which is Russia, possibly China, Japan, and even those eastern countries, even Korea, may be allied together. And you already see today certain ventures between Russia and China. And you see China trying to impose its power in the South China Sea. And America losing its power, the other smaller ones will be gobbled up by China. There's no questions about it. Give it time. But things are going to happen because these bullies are getting into place and shoveling their elbows to get into position to be the next world superpower. And that's what we see now between Europe and Gog and Magog, future Gog, and it was Russia, Rosh in the Bible. And you see the problem is in Ukraine. That's right, the border there between the two. Now we know that the Bible talks about 10 nations in Europe, but now we have 28. We know the Bible talks that will be a dictatorship. Today we've got a democracy. Something serious is going to happen in Europe soon. Maybe there'll be a collapse of Europe as we see it. There's some serious financial problems in Europe. They haven't recovered yet. And they seem to be going down again. And with sanctions with Russia, it's even hurting even more, even Germany. So maybe the European unity is only the embryonic form of the coming European superpower, which the Bible calls it the beast, or the king of the north. So those are three things to watch: the United States, and Britain, Israel, the Middle East, and Europe. The fourth one is the king of the south. Brethren, if you can't see today the king of the south in its embryonic form, then you must be blind. Because the king of the south will be a confederacy of very probably Islamic groups forming in the Middle East and North Africa. In other words, in south of Europe. Not probably most of it south of Jerusalem, but not necessarily all of it south of Jerusalem. And most of, say, 85% of the Muslims are Sunnis. And the Islamic State, which has just declared a caliphate, which is another way of saying it's a state, is Sunni. And the people in Egypt, the majority of them, and Saudi Arabia, etc., in the south of Jerusalem area, all those North African areas, they're all Sunnis, or the majority of Sunnis. So, Al-Qaeda and those groups are Sunnis. So we see problems there. And that will cause a religious crash, because that will be pushing Islam. That will be pushing a very radical form of religion. Now imagine that pushing into Europe. Now you think about England is particularly exposed, because people from a lot of those areas were part of British colonies, they got British passports, and they're going to go straight into England. In fact, today they have 500 people from England fighting for this radical group. England has just declared a higher, or one of their highest levels of emergency, of anti-terrorism, of awareness. But imagine that pressing onto Europe, which is what? The home of the Catholic Church. Now, do you think the Pope is going to accept to submit to Islam? I don't think so. History teaches us some lessons, because Islam went into Europe in the past. And what happened? The Pope Urban II, in 1095, encouraged Christian armies from Western Europe to fight against Muslim forces. And that called the Crusades. So imagine this pressure from the King of the South is going to trigger what next? A revival of power, of strength of the Catholic Church, which will lead to a revival of the Antichrist and of the false prophet. These are only five things to watch. I said seven. The sixth one, so the fifth one is religion, the Catholic Church. The sixth one, I want you to turn with me to Matthew 24:14. Matthew 24:14. It says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. Brethren, since the days of Miss Armstrong, this gospel has been preached with greater or lesser strength, but has been preached. It's now being preached again, let's call it a second time, with more strength. In fact, somewhere in the scriptures, if you remember, it says, go out and do it a second time. And I believe that is going to go out and be done greater and greater strength. We've been with United Church of God is now doing it in many languages. For instance, just yesterday we produced our 32nd booklet in Portuguese. The church has now 35 booklets. So it's now going in different languages to the whole world, and it's going to be more effective than the first time because of internet. We'll have a far greater outreach into John the Citizen all over the world. And he says, as a witness to all nations, not to convert the world. That's Christ's job when he comes to establish the world tomorrow. Our job is only to tell them this is coming as a witness. And yes, those that repent and change will prepare a people. But those are a small flock. Converting the world is Christ's job when he comes. But once we've done this enough to God's satisfaction, that he has said that is enough, he says, and then the end will come. This is such an important scripture. It means the gospel will be preached, and when it's preached enough, and then it cannot be preached anymore, that's the end. We are still preaching the gospel, so it's not the end yet. So the sixth icon to watch is God's church doing the work. But the point is, once the end comes, it's too late for you to do something about it. Because it's the end. You've got to do it before, now. And the seventh icon to watch, which is actually the one that's caused all the others, is a decline in morality. In other words, it's the sins of our nations. Israelitish nations and all nations around the world, because they all will be punished at the same time. Because when the time of the end comes, not just the punishment of Israel and Judah and those nations, the whole world will be punished. So imagine, it will be a whole world punishment, not just Israel and Judah. There will be no place to stay. The sins are the cause of the problems. Turn with me, please, to Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9. We're going to read verse 12 through 16. Jeremiah 9, 12 through 16. Who is the wise who may understand this? Who is the wise person that's going to understand these things? And who is he to whom the mouth of the Lord has spoken that he may declare it? Why does the land perish and burn like a wilderness so that no one can pass through? Why is the whole world going to be in such a chaos? Why is this going to happen? And then the Lord said, he has a reason. because you have forsaken my law, which I set before you, before the people, and have not obeyed my voice, nor walked according to it. But they walked according to the dictates of their own hearts, and after the false gods, which their parents taught them to worship these false gods. That's exactly what's happening in the world today, brethren. People are disobeying God, and they're following false gods, false religions. Therefore, verse 15 says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, this people, with wormwood, and give them water of gall to bitterness. In other words, I'll give them poison to drink. I will scatter them also among the Gentiles, you know, the nations will be scattered all over, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, and I'll send a sword after them until I have consumed them. The cause of our problems is the decline in morality, that we've broken God's laws, we're accepting things like homosexuality, marriage between people of the same sex, and so on and so on and so on and so on. The list is as long as whatever. It's just all over. That's the cause of our problems. And you just turn a few pages ahead to Jeremiah 14 verse 9 through 12. It says, why should you be like a man astonished? Like a mighty one who cannot save. In other words, why should you, God, be like a human being that can't save? Yet you, Lord, you are in our midst. God, you are amongst us. Say the religions of this world. Say the people in this world. We've got Christ all over the place. We've got churches all over the place. Christian churches all over. Why, God, aren't you saving us? Why are you acting like as if you're a man and you can't do anything about it? And you are called, and we are called by your name. Yes, we are Christians. We are called by your name. We're all Christians. Why are you not saving us? Don't leave us. Thus says the Lord to his people. Thus they have loved to wander. They have not restrained their feet. Therefore the Lord does not accept them. God, Christ, is not going to accept people that commit iniquity. You know, they say, why did you call me Lord, Lord, when you don't do the things that I told you? Depart from me, who practice iniquity. Therefore the Lord does not accept them. He'll remember their iniquity now and punish their sins. And then the Lord said to me, to Jeremiah, to the prophet, says to us, do not... What? Let's read this carefully. Do not pray for this people. Do not pray for their good. Wow. God is saying for us not to pray for these people. God is saying these Christians there have disobeyed me. They're not obeying God's laws. They say, why, God, we called by your name, we are Christians. And then God is saying, do not pray for these people. It says, when they fast, God says, I'll not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offerings, you know, whatever offerings and sacrifices and penance they do, whatever they're going to do, they're going to go penance and walk on their knees until their knees are bleeding, or whatever they're going to do, or they go around the rosary 20 times or many knees or whatever, you know, whatever sacrifice they do, when they offer those, I'll not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. These are dire warnings, brethren, of things that are going to happen. Look then at Ezekiel chapter 9. Ezekiel chapter 9. verse 4 through 6. The Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem. There was midst of our cities. Go through the midst of New York City. Go through the midst of Chicago. Go through the midst of Miami. Louisville. And put a mark on the foreheads of the man who sighed and cried over all the abominations that are done today. Brethren, when we see these terrible things happening around us, we need to sigh and cry for the abominations that are being done. And to the others, he said, in my hearing, go after him through the city and kill. Do not let your eyes spare, nor have any pity. Why? Because these people are wicked. Utterly slay old and young, maidens and little children and women, but do not come near anyone who has the mark. The mark, because they sigh and cry for the abominations that are happening in our cities. And begin that punishment in my church. Begin that punishment in the church of God. So if there are any of us in God's church, which is God's sanctuary, that are not sighing and crying, we better be careful. So they began with the elders who were before the temple. Brethren, as events unfold, some details will become clearer. We cannot set times, and we know what's clearly stated in the Bible. We've got to preach the word. And we have extensive material and Bible study guides on the book of Revelation and the Middle Eastern prophecy that go through some of these details that I'm not going to cover today because they're just such big topics. But just let's remember that the book of Revelation has got, think of it like a book that's got seven seals. Four of them, the first four seals, are four horsemen. And the fifth one is the tribulation. It's easy to remember. Four horsemen, and then the tribulation. And then it's the time of God's intervention. Heavenly signs and the trumpets. There's the seven seals. Four horsemen and the revelation. Easy to remember. Matthew 24. Christ gives us what they are. The first horseman, false religion, Islam, and false Christianity, triggering wars amongst themselves. The white horse, false religion. The second horse, a war, red horse, a caliphate, and crusades, and whatever it is, religious wars. Brethren, the next good news that you should be receiving soon, which we have not received, has got a very interesting article in the middle here on page 20. Islamic Caliphate declared, what does it mean? Brethren, this is current news. You need to read this. Unfortunately, many of us get the good news, get the material, and they don't read it. Many of us don't even know what's in these study guides and what is in the Bible. It should not be so. We should know what we teach. And we should know the doctrines of the Bible. And our study guides are excellent material to help us understand the truth, rather than spending the time searching through things that are through people that we don't know who they are. And spending our time watching those things, we should be reading and understanding study guides that guide us through the truth in the Bible that have been inspired by God's ministers. Those are the four horsemen. What is the cause of that? Sin. What comes next? The Great Tribulation. Right? enforcement, then the great tribulation. Okay, what sort of sequence? I'm not saying 8 times, but the Bible gives us a sequence to these things before the great tribulation. Where? Leviticus 26. Turn with me to Leviticus 26, please. If you start in verse 3, it says, if the biggest word in English, which has only got 2 letters, if, well, not count, the biggest one is I. We should be the smallest ones, but we make it the most important. You know how often we talk, I did this, and I do this, and I'm going to do this, and I. But anyway, one of the biggest words in English is if. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, then you'll have rain in due season. Brethren, you hear and see problems in California, out west, big problems, drought. Even in other countries too. It's not just in the States. I mean, I hear in Sao Paulo, north of Sao Paulo, they don't have water. They haven't had water there for such a long time. Their reservoirs are empty. Just like in areas in California, some reservoirs are completely empty. But he says, if you obey me, I'll give you rain in due season. We're not obeying. But look at it a little later. In verse 14. It says, if you do not obey me, and then gives you 5 sequential, let's call it whammies, or attacks. 5. The first one is in verse 16. The first one says, I'll do this to you. I'll even appoint terrorism over you. Do we have terrorism today over us? And sicknesses and diseases that people have, like cancer and things like that, that we don't know what's going on? That is the first attack. Number 2, verse 18. After this, if you still do not obey me, I'll punish you 7 times more for your sins, and I'll break the pride of your power. Is this happening today? Surely it is. 2008, we had a great crash, and since then, the pride of America's power is going down. 2 down, 3 to go. Number 3, verse 21. Then if you walk contrary to me, and are not willing to obey me, I'll bring on you 7 times more plagues. That's disease epidemics. Could it be Ebola virus? Could it be whatever? Could it be a bird flu? Could be whatever other thing, but it will be enormous. And I'll send wild beasts among you. Those are viruses and bugs and things. They're not lions and tigers. They're not going to have lions and tigers walking around in Louisville and killing people. There's not enough of them to procreate in the next whatever. But it's viruses, bacteria. Maybe bacterial warfare. Somebody's got to breed these things, and they bring it in a suitcase and put it in a water supply and goes all over. And it says, and shall rob you of your children. Young people will die. Destroy cattle and make you few in number. And your highways will be desolate because they'll be quarantined. You'll quarantine people so the roads are stopped. What is our highways? Sure, it's I-64 and I-75 and 71. But you know what our highways are? They are a lot higher than that. They're called airlines and, you know, a lot of airlines and ways of traveling to and fro will be stopped, grounded, because of quarantine. Because, you know, a lot of diseases are carried through planes and things like that. So that is the third. Not come yet, but it's the next one to watch. I'm not setting dates, but it's the next one. And then it says, the fourth one, verse 23, and if by these things you still not reform to me, but walk contrary to me, then I also walk contrary to you. I'll punish you seven times more for your sins, and I'll bring a sword against you. That's war. He says, when you gather within your cities, I'll send pestilence. So war brings diseases and pests and things like that. What sort of war could it be? Well, for one, could be civil war. Aren't we building up to a civil war in this country? Maybe we are, maybe we're not. But it seems to me that the ones on one side are getting more and more on one side, and ones on the other side are getting more and more on the other side, and we seem to be split smack bang in the middle. And who knows? And that's not anything nice. And that's the fourth one. And the fifth one is verse 27. And if you do not obey them, I'll chastise you seven times more. And then it says, destroy your high places, verse 30, your cities, and verse 33, and I'll scatter you. Do you know what this is? It's the Great Tribulation. So we've got two down, two to go, and then the Great Tribulation. Like the mother before childbirth, you know those stages of what's happening. It helps you to manage through the pain. So, brethren, I say there's seven things for us to watch. The United States and Britain, the Middle East, Europe, the King of the South, the Roman Catholic Church, the Church of God, and morality in society. We watch these things shaping towards the Great Tribulation. We don't know how long it is. But in parallel, all these things are being influenced by demonic powers. Don't say, oh well, it's so-and-so, this person, and I don't like this person, or I don't like that person. Remember, there's demonic powers at war influencing people. So let's be careful not to label this person and that person. We all easily do that. Let's be careful. You see, Revelation 12 talks about that. Revelation 12, verse 7 through 12. Revelation 12, verse 7 through 12. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heavens any longer. You see, there's going to be a war in heaven. You see, Satan and his demons can still have access to heaven. But it's going to be a war. And verse 9, so the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, and he was cast onto the earth. And his angels, that means his demons, were cast out with him to the earth. When he gets cast out, he's going to blow, because he knows he's got a short time. That means it's beginning, building up to the Great Tribulation. So he says, let's jump up into verse 12. At the end of verse 12, he says, for the devil has come down to you to the earth, having great wrath, because he knows he has a short time. He still is in heaven. But the moment he's kicked out, he knows his days are numbered. And so when he knows his days are numbered, what is he going to do? Look at verse 13. And when the dragon saw that it had been cast to the earth, it persecuted the church of God. So when he's thrown out of heaven, the first thing he's going to do He knows his days are numbered, and he persecutes the church of God. Now, we read a little early on about Matthew 24. It says, you'll be hated by nations, and then you'll preach the gospel, and then the end will come. When the end will come is when Satan is thrown out. He knows he's got his days cut short, and he's going to attack the church, and we can't do the work anymore because he attacks the church. Why? Why will the work be stopped then? Because we'll be hated by all nations. Not just America, but all nations. When the work gets stopped, blessed are those that were doing the work. Right? The ones that were not doing the work, it's too late now. Daniel 12:12. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. You blessed, you waited, you did the work, you persevered till the end, because he says you'll preach the gospel, and then the end will come. When the gospel stops being preached, the end is come. Satan knows he has a short time, and the countdown begins. 13:35. Today no man knows the day or the hour. But it is possible that then you will know, because it says it's 13:35 days. Look at Matthew 24. Matthew 24:36. Matthew 24:36. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of the heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving marriage, until the day that Noah entered the flood. Until the day that he was protected. Until the day Noah entered the ark. And did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be on the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, that you do not know the hour of your Lord is coming. So there's going to come to be a time when some people will be taken and some will be left. Kind of implying they are working in the field, which is God's church. They're working, doing the work is stopped, and maybe half of the church will be taken, half of the church will not. So just because you're in the church and I'm in the church does not mean or guarantee that we will not be taken. Does not mean that it will be a friendly act, because it says it'll persecute the woman. Brethren, it's not a secret rapture to heaven either. Because you're taken does not mean you're taken to heaven. That is an assumption. It doesn't say you're taken to heaven. Look at others. Look at Lot and Lot's family. They left Sodom and Gomorrah. They were taken, But we're not taken to heaven, we're taken to another part on planet Earth. Even Elijah, he was not taken to heaven. Our booklet and our study guide on heaven and hell explains that clearly. Because a few years later, Elijah wrote a letter to a king of the nation. But the point is, brethren, we need to be aware that some will be taken and some will not. Turn with me to Luke chapter 21, verse 34 to 36. Luke 21, verse 34 to 36. Luke 21, verse 34 to 36. Luke 21, 34 through 36. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down of carousing and drunkenness, cares of this life, and the day come on you unexpectedly. You see, peace and safety. We are okay. We've got a lot of time. And even some people in the church could say, well, we're okay, we've got time. And they're not being ready inside. Not being close to God. Not doing the work. And one of the biggest works you and I have is changing ourselves through the power of God's Holy Spirit. Change ourselves from the old man to the new man. That's part of God's work in you and I. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. It will come suddenly, sudden destruction. Watch, therefore. Yes, I told you a few things to watch around world events. But I think the biggest thing to watch is our attitude and our conduct, whether we are being true Christians or not. And pray. Always. That you may be accounted worthy to escape. Remember at the beginning of the sermon I mentioned the word escape. We'll come back to it. And that is the title of my sermon today. Watch and pray. That you may escape. It's not saying, oh well, I'll be in this group or in that group or in this organization or in that. And therefore I will escape because I'm part of this group. No, it says, watch and pray that you may be accounted worthy to escape regardless of where you are. Regardless of which country or which group or wherever you are. May be accounted worthy to escape all these things that you may come, that will come to pass. And to stand when Jesus Christ actually comes back. You see, brethren, some will be taken elsewhere. Where to? Where to? All nations will hate us. Maybe an angel will come and will take us. Maybe not. I mean, it happened to Elijah. And it's happened to others. God's got enough angels to do it for people around the world. You don't have to save money to buy an air ticket. God will provide that. That's why you pray that you may be accounted worthy to escape. Accounted worthy by whom? By God. But there might be one country that will accept Sabbath-keeping persecuted Christians around the world. When every other nation hates them, and the woman, and Satan persecutes the woman. Look at Daniel 12, verse 11. Daniel 12, verse 11. Daniel 12, verse 11. From the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away. Remember I said sacrifices will still have to be done. But from the time they will be taken away and the abomination of desolation set up, there will be 1,290 days. There's the countdown. 45 days have now passed. And there's now 3.5 years plus 1 month. 12 and 19 is 3.5 years plus 1 month. Again, the abomination of desolation is set up. The countdown has started. Satan knows he has a short time. Didn't Christ prophesy something about that? Matthew 24 verse 15. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet standing in a holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea we're not in Judea today, but we've been persecuted and kicked out of different nations, and angels have protected some of us to a nation that might welcome us. I wonder where that will be. He says, those that are in Judea flee to the mountains, whatever that is. Let him who is in the house stop, not go down, etc., etc. And then verse 21, for then there will be great tribulation. There's 1 month to go to the great tribulation. Turn with me to Revelation 12. Revelation 12. Verse 14. Revelation 12, verse 14. See, in verse 13 we said Satan persecutes the church, and in verse 14, and the church was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness to a place where she's nourished for 3.5 years from the presence of Satan. She's protected from Satan. And the serpent, which Satan, verse 15, spewed out water out of his mouth like a flood, in other words, sent out the big army after the church, that he might cause her to be carried away by the army, by the flood. But the earth helped the church, the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up that army that was chasing the woman, which the dragon had spewed out of its mouth. And then the dragon, verse 17, was enraged with the woman, he's with the church, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. Those others that stayed behind. Remember, there were two in the field, one was taken, the other one was left. Pray that you may be counted worthy to escape. The one that was left, now Satan will turn to go to them. But you see, they live in democratic countries where you've got a constitution. Freedom of religion. He can't attack us with the mark of the beast, which is nothing else but Sunday observance. He can't attack us. You can't get fired before obeying the Sabbath in this country. So what he does? Destroys democracy. How does he destroy democracy? He's got 1 month. Hosea 5, not going to turn there, but just make a note. Verse 3 to 7, and Psalm 83, verse 4 to 8, shows that it is in 1 month, and it shows that a confederation of the King of the South with Germany will attack these nations and will destroy democracy within a month. And that is clearly explained in our booklet and giving scriptural references to it. You see, you would know this if you've been studying the booklet and the Bible with them. It's been there for a long time. I'm not preaching anything new. And they'll have 30 months because it will happen during the period of a moon, the period of a month. And that means a month later, what do we have? We have 1260. And what happens at 1260? Revelation 12, verse. Turn with me. 12, verse. No, Daniel 12. Beg your pardon. Daniel 12. Daniel 12. Daniel 12. Verse 4, many will run to and fro, and knowledge will be increased, clearly talking about today's time. And then at the end of verse 6 says, how long will these things be? And then at the end of verse 7 says, and it shall be for a time, times and half a time. And it was 3.5 years. And when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered. What do you mean the power of the holy people completely shattered? You can look at physically and spiritually. Number one, the church is no more doing the work. And number two, Israel, physical Israel, who's been completely shattered, because in 1 month they've been completely shattered. And that's what it says, as a time, times and a half a time. That's 3.5 years. Israel, Judah, and the church of God's power will be completely shattered. Will not be able to do a work. Then the great tribulation starts. And that goes on. But I wanted to give you a little bit of a sequence before the great tribulation. A lot of we've covered after the great tribulation, a lot of those things. Because we know at the end of, towards the end of the great tribulation will be heavenly signs, which says God will start intervening. And then it'll be the day of the Lord and the fights between different nations, between the king of the north and the king of the south, and between the north and Gog and Magog. And then we know that they will be ready to blow up this world, and then Christ will come and will stand on Mount of Olives, as we read in Zechariah 14. And then he'll bring peace, and then the nations will keep the Feast of Tabernacles in peace, symbolizing peace. Brethren, I tried to give you a little bit of an understanding of what is to come. The joy will surpass the pain. The joy will surpass the pain. But if you know some of the steps, it gives you strength to fight. It does say that some of us will be protected. That's why it says, watch and pray that you may be accounted worthy. Why? Because you and I can do something about it by praying, by coming in close to God, doing our part so that we may be accounted worthy by God to escape. That's why Christ said in Luke 12, verse 32. Luke 12, verse 32. Luke 12, verse 32. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Brethren, you and I do not need to fear. God will intervene. And if you are and I are close to God, God will protect us. How? We don't know. How long is it to go? We don't know. But we know that once the countdown starts, we pretty well know there's 3.5 years to go. I hope that you all look at it not from a negative point of view, but look at it from a positive, because God has given you guidance and instruction how you could maybe escape. We're not here to escape. We have to serve God. But you know what? God wants people in the world tomorrow to lead, be leaders in the world tomorrow. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And like children, you don't want to smack and punish the ones that are obedient. You want to punish the disobedient ones, but the obedient ones you'll protect. Even after the tribulation, it says you will seal even more people so they can be protected. But brethren, fear not, because it's the Father's good pleasure to give you